This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Come here. Welcome to the Famous Foxes Aftermath Show, live every Sunday on Leicester Fan TV. Come on, you Foxes. Good morning, Foxes. How the devil are you? How's your weekend been so far? That's 2 wins at home out of 2. 6 points out of 6. What a time it is to be a Leicester supporter. Well, you know what day it is. It's Sunday. It's 10 a.m. So it's time for the Famous Foxes Aftermath Show, run by us fans for you fans out there. And you know what? Your opinion matters. Get them comments in now. Let's get going. It's kickoff time. Come on, you.
The Leicester City machine is on the march again.
Leicester Fan TV presents a variety of content, like fan discussions, match analysis, and engaging with Leicester fans worldwide. We want your views live. Thanks to our sponsors, Evrods, Follow Blinds, Pocket Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Distillers Direct, Hologram, Take Me, Nubian Co., and the Foxes Arms and Rainbows. We are live in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Morning all. That comment, morning Kev. Yeah, we're not open till tomorrow, so you're a little bit early. You're a day early, but we'll see you tomorrow, pal. How is everyone? How is everyone doing after such a fantastic result yesterday? We needed them 3 points with everyone losing. But the thing was, Ipswich losing, Leeds losing, with 5-10 minutes to go, who could see us doing the most Leicester thing ever and only getting a point? That's what I was thinking. We're going to blow this. We need to score. That second half for me was probably one of the best second halves I've seen in a long time. Some people might disagree with me that. I know one person is definitely going to disagree with me on that, but I thought that second half was fantastic. I know we didn't score until the 87th minute. I know Mabidibi didn't do anything until that goal, but you still needed someone to be at the back post, and he was the man to put the ball in the back of the net. And on that point, we will bring young Reedy in. Morning, Reedy. How are you, pal?
I'm good. How are you?
You sound a bit downhearted. You meant to be up with the joys, filling the joys of spring. We won 2-1. We got 3 points. Last minute winner. Who doesn't love a last minute winner? Well, not last minute winner. Last minute-ish winner. Who doesn't love that?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was right at the end, mate. I just wish we could have sorted out a bit earlier, because like you even said, I was thinking it was going to be a draw at the end of the game, to be honest. So,
you were there. Terry's just said, morning, Terry. I was speaking to your brother last night, Chris. KP Atmosphere was back to its old self yesterday. Yes, it sounded like on the TV, it sounded like it was back up to its old self, but we need it to be like that every time, not just on the one-off games.
I think when, like I say, I think it always starts from how it goes on the pitch. And I think at times yesterday, there was a few good tackles in there. There was a few good attack runs in the game. And it got the fans up and going for it. So I'm glad we could get it and just made it even better when we did score the late-minute winner.
Andy Medhurst.
Oh, do one, man, please.
Well,
I'm sorry. No, not even when Vardy came on, he did absolutely nothing. I'm sorry, but they've not been getting any service. We don't play with a striker.
I've stuck up with him. I've stuck with him, and I've agreed with some of your comments. But yesterday's game wasn't his best game.
No, it wasn't. But Vardy didn't have a good game when he came on either.
You know, the truth there, Vardy wasn't.
We don't. Yesterday in the game against Norwich.
I wouldn't say he was pants, but he wasn't.
Both games against Norwich and Birmingham, we barely played with a striker. They were always coming back into the midfield to try and hold the ball up and give it to someone else. We never really used that striker position. Obviously, when Vardy was in a few weeks back, he was scoring quite a lot of goals because that's when we weren't really scoring many goals and he was the one scoring all of them. But now we're getting goal scorers that aren't just the striker. We're barely using that striker position. So for me, from what I saw, Daka got the assist for Dewsbury's goal. And for me, that's all you need to do.
Well, yeah. Great. I wouldn't say Daka was pants. I'd say it was more like briefs than anything, to be honest, with a brief appearance for an hour. Everyone's piling into Daka. I don't know why we seem to need... he won't get a game for Anstey Nomads. Kev, I think he might get a game for Anstey Nomads, to be honest, but we'll have this chat tomorrow, pal. Was all over Norwich. Brilliant second half subs and up the intensity. Yes, we did. I've got three people waiting. I'm going to bring them all on at once. Jono, morning, Jono. Locks has sneaked in. And young Tom's joined us. Well, not young Tom. Oldish Tom has joined us.
I'll take young.
Tom, you were there yesterday. What were the atmosphere and the game itself?
Oh, the atmosphere itself was the best it's been for a long time down there. I truly felt there was a lot of... Maybe the old financial thing, maybe some other bits of peace, but I truly felt that the fans were at one going into that game. There was a lot of noise around us all game. Obviously, the Vichai chant on the 60th minute, fair play to everyone joining in. It was noisy. The game itself, it's typical Leicester, isn't it? Like, you get a slice of luck with the goal for Dewsbury Hall with Daka being in offside position in the build-up. Take it.
Ooh, wasn't quite that offside.
He's still offside though, Jamie. Rowett's right, you know, he's in an offside position and comes back onside, you know. You take that slice of luck because we haven't had that recently, those little bit of luck. So you take that. You then, just before half time, you get the game's easy. We're absolutely dominating the game. Birmingham, no chances really in the first half for me. And then just playing out from the back, but I can't fault Mads because for us, he kept him most games this season when, you know, teams have chances. It's a bad, just one bad kick. Second half, what can I say? It was all Leicester, weren't it, really? I mean, it was all Leicester. And for me, the goal comes from the substitute, but also comes from a big, powerful centre-half deciding to run through the heart of the midfield of Birmingham City.
Vestergaard being prime Franz Beckenbauer, strolling through the midfield,
Gets the ball wide, and then causes more havoc because he doesn't stop the run. And if you look at the goal, I've watched it four, five, six times now. Vestergaard runs into the box, causes havoc with the Birmingham defence, and the centre-half and the right-back both go to Vestergaard to try and push him. One pushes him out of the way, and then they suddenly turn around and realise Mavadidi's behind them. Vestergaard doesn't make that run. Mavadidi doesn't score that goal for me. So,
yeah,
a lot of credit to Vestergaard for getting in there and causing havoc at the end. And, you know, without his run, that goal doesn't come, and we have to take a point from the game.
Oh, no. Locks, you did the show afterwards. What was the view of the fans in the comments and that? Were they happy with the result? Were they happy with the performance?
Yeah. People were happy. Of course they were, yeah. I think there's still some people, including myself, who are obviously just... I think it's more anxious because I think a lot of the time we don't know what Leicester's going to turn up. I think we score the goal yesterday and we kind of just... I don't know, we just take a foot off the gas and it's just really irritating because
the first goal you mean, Locks?
Yeah, when we score, like, because you mate, you see every other team that play against us, when they score against us, they go for a second. They go for a second. Even like Norwich did it on Monday, mate. They nearly scored again afterwards. Because that's when a team's at the most fragile, when they've just conceded. And then, but we seem to take our foot off the gas. So I really find that just frustrating to watch. Because especially when you look at how we came out second half, like, you know how good we are. We are very, very good. We're a very good team when we want to be. You know, we could have... I know it's impossible, by the way. I know it's impossible to play that tempo all game. It's impossible. But if you play that tempo more often and with that intent more often, like, you will steamroll some teams. So it's just a bit frustrating when we don't. But I know why Enzo doesn't have us that way. It's because I think Enzo likes control on the game, right? He doesn't like kind of chaos, I don't think, Enzo Matthews. You know, unless it's needed, unless you need, you know, a goal like we did yesterday, he likes to just have control of the game, have it, you know, going nice and patiently. So, but no, overall, the fans are happy. Obviously, I'm happy. And, you know, I think with the bad form we were on, and we all said it's at the wrong time, because it was at the wrong time of the season for that bad form to start. But now this is the perfect time to you know, win every game, now to win six games on the bounce. And
it is, eh?
Which... Yeah, Ipswich leads, mate. I mean, it's the wrong time for them to lose a game for them. It's the wrong time for them, and they lost their games. And, you know, if we win every game now, we win the league, you know, and we equal the points record.
Yeah, so, equal the points record. Jono, he made three subs, I think, at the right time. I'm not sure why he brought Connor Cody on with about 2 seconds
to go. At the right time? I wouldn't say right time.
Well, I think he did. I think he made him at the right time. The sub, he changed. It was just a tactical thing, Jono, for JJ to come on for Doyle, because Doyle was getting the run around by that mush. I can't pronounce his name. You know what I'm like with names, with their winger. And then he brought Dennis Pratt on Eunice on with about 10 minutes to go. I personally think it might have been just another 5 minutes before for Pratt and Eunice, but I think he made the subs at the right time, Jono.
We've all been criticising him because recently he's been making subs 10 minutes too late. Playing teams make their subs, they do the damage, and then we make ours. It's too late, so it's good to see him actually make subs when it's necessary for once. Maybe he's adapting what he's doing, but he's now making subs when it's necessary, which is a good thing.
I don't think he is, Jamie. I think he made the subs at the same time as he normally does, doesn't he? The Vardy one was earlier, but the others were about the same time as normal.
Of course, you put Vardy on, didn't you? Yeah, you put Vardy on earlier, but he doesn't
normally... Vardy was early, yeah. But the others were a similar time.
But I think the game was changing. With them 10 minutes to go, we needed an impetus. And I think Tom will know, he's more of a tactical... He's got more tactical nouns than most of us. making them subs with 10 minutes to go sort of changes the game. And for once, the subs actually did change the games. I mean, with that run by Vestergaard, he found, forget about him going into the box and taking players out, but he found Pratt. Pratt did his turn, gave it to Eunice, and Eunice put the ball in. As much as I love Fatua, he was overdoing that underlapping run ball, wasn't he, yesterday, Tom?
Yeah, he was, but I also feel probably the subs could have happened maybe 10 minutes before. I think with 20 minutes to go, the subs should have been made. I think, and Diddy, about 65, 70 minutes, was flat out on his feet.
Yeah.
And the balls that he would normally run onto from Fatua, he wasn't getting anywhere near because he just hadn't gotten the energy to get into the box. And at that point, the fans were getting frustrated. We kept trying that overlapping ball and we were getting nowhere near it. Maybe the ball were too heavy, but I still think 10 minutes before and the substitution probably should have been made, because I think you could tell that Fatu had lost his mojo at that point because things weren't happening right. And Diddy was completely knackered and he wasn't getting anywhere near what he should have been. But look, the subs did change the game. I thought Pratt and Eunice both had some really good touches in around the penalty area. I think Enzo said something quite interesting about his mentor, saying when teams attack you, you press high, you win the ball, you attack quickly. When teams sit deep, you have to be patient and you have to be slow and steady with the ball. Quite interesting to say that because, you know, the fans get frustrated with this slow play when teams are sitting deep. But in some ways, you understand now what he's saying. You've got to try and pull people out of position. At the end, that's what us playing slow did, because Vestergaard quicked it up, but you look when he goes to Pratt, he slows it down, he takes his time, he then takes his time ball to Yunus, he takes his time to make sure that ball's pinpoint. For me, that really made the difference, those two subs, because I don't think you would. I think at that point, if that ball goes to Fatui and then Ndidi, they're looking for that overlapping run again. And this time they didn't. Pratt stayed outside the area, what meant there was no one in that corner. And then Yunus has the freedom to cross the ball to the back post. Completely changed the game in my those two subs. And they needed to, because at that point, Birmingham was starting to get a foot in the game, had a couple more attacks, because I felt like they had a bit more energy on the park at that point.
Reedy, like you were there, it's nice to see Wilf and Ricky making a huge difference, isn't it? They've seemed to be, I don't know, the last time they played was, I think, just before New Year's Day. I think it was the last time they played together, up until just recently. They seem to be the glue that holds us together, Reedy, a little bit. Apart from the defence, because I didn't know this stat until yesterday, that back four has played together 11 times and we've won 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, Phil
seemed to make a huge difference in my mind.
I think Phil told me a stat before we left to go to the game, and he said that I think the 15 games out of 16 when they both played, we've won all of them. So it just show you. But I will admit, and this is just me, I probably will get slate for this, but I don't think indeed he had the best of games yesterday. Again, maybe because he was a bit leggy, I don't know. But he just didn't seem.
It was blowing a bit, but I think that might have been, he put a lot of hard work in yesterday.
I think it was because Fatu did try and make that ball a bit too many times, and I think it got a bit repetitive in how we were doing it. So maybe he just got to the point where he was a bit too shattered to make them runs anymore. But like I say, on majority of the games, yes, both when Wilf and Ricardo were in the team, we have been a lot better. And I think the main one for me is Ricardo Pereira, because even if you don't see too much special from him, it's just the quality that shines through. So it's just good to see that he's back, and hopefully for the next six games, he's back fit fully for the rest of the game. So,
yeah, look, so like Reedy says, we've got six games now. It's not just six games. It's more like six cup finals, isn't it?
Yeah, man, as cliche as it is, you know, you can probably afford to.
Sorry,
you can probably afford to. Obviously, you don't want to, but you can probably afford one loss, I think. You know, whether that's going to come against Southampton, whether that's going to come against West Brom. I think they're the two toughest games, by the way, West Brom and Southampton. It's hard, mate. I think. This is the perfect opportunity now to go on a run. I mean, look, the passion, the energy from the players, in terms of not on the pitch but off the pitch as well, they seem to be. This is crazy, by the way, because like we've only won two games on the bounce, right? And before that, we were all like in meltdown, basically, including myself. Including myself, but the players and the managers just seemed like the happiest they've been all year. It's weird. It's crazy.
It's because they know how big it is.
Yeah. And they seem you know, on top of the world, mate. And that's crazy, seeing as though the run we went on. But I mean, it was really interesting listening to Dewsbury Hall's interview on the When You're Smiling after the last game, after the Norwich game. Sorry, saying that, you know, everyone. We're saying we're bottlers and no one wants us to go up automatically and all this. And it does seem to have given. I mean, I remember after the Leeds game, again, I was listening to the When You're Smiling, and I think Matt Piper said, you know, maybe that Leeds defeat is going to poke the bear, and it didn't do that. It went the opposite way. But now maybe this poor run of form, everyone, including fans, again, including myself, getting on the players' back and the managers' back, maybe that has poked the bear now, and maybe that has kind of injected a bit of desire and, you know, whatever into the players to say, all right, let's actually prove them wrong. You know, let's prove that we are the best team in this league. Because, like, there's been so much noise, mate. I mean, even after when Leeds beat us, I think Rotter for Leeds was saying, we're the best team in the league. And Ampadu came off the pitch and made a comment about what Enzo had said before the game about, you know, it's not a big game for us, it's a big game for them. And I think Ampadu was like, big game for us and all this. So there's been a lot of noise, and I think there's some mind games that have been involved throughout the whole season. But, you know, it's in our hands now. That is literally it. And I think you just think back to the the 15-16 season, mate. We had enough. We all came together and we got it over the line. And yeah. I think that's just what we got to do now, mate. We just got to get it over the line.
Just going back in the past a little bit further. I mean, I'm one of the old schools. I'm a bit dinosaurish, like Phil is. Tom's not quite my age, but he's a bit old schoolish. I'm 53 and I went absolutely bonkers running around the room, celebrating that last minute winner. Well, nearly last minute winner. I'm not sure whether the dog was celebrating or he was trying to bite him because I got him overexcited. But I got the same feeling of that goal yesterday as when Stevie Howard scored against Leeds in the same goal at the same end. It's just that same kind of feeling that turned the season around. And I reckon this will turn the season around as well, I think, Tom.
Just going back to the point you were saying about the defeats, I think the reaction from the fans of Bristol City away really hit the players, if I'm honest. I think the way the chanting from the fans of what the hell, you know, was that really got to the players. And I think the players were taken back, think we're third in the league and we're getting chance from that because we've had a bad game. But I generally think the players probably taken that and gone, we need to step up now. It's our time to put it right. And yeah, that goal yesterday, the goal against Leeds, Howard, the Claridge goal, Yuri Tillemans at Wembley, those magical moments yesterday was up there with that, because I think we knew how much, we'd known that Ipswich had lost at 12:30, knowing that we go into the game winning, we're back at the top, seeing at half time that Leeds were losing, you know, going into that final 10 minutes, still seeing Leeds losing. The atmosphere, the fans were trying to suck the ball into the net. They really were. And then obviously the chance where there was a massive scramble in the goal, you were just sitting there going, it really is not our day today when that is not in the back of the net. Yeah. And obviously Mavadini pops up and, like you, Jeremy, you still get that feeling now how much that meant. And you saw it after the game, the celebrations for Winks and stuff. Winks and Ricardo, for me, the two that makes his team tick. And when Winks has not got his main man next to him and it's Hamza Chowdhury, it's a completely different team. When Ricardo Pereira plays, the team is a different animal. And Winks has got his side man with him. He's got his wing man with him, you know, conducting the play, knowing that he can do a little bit more about it. Lux wants to say that.
Callum, give me a good offer, Callum. One behind him, not the one that he's wearing.
Yeah.
This is the wrong channel if he wants to think he's wearing.
Just, sorry, I just want to say just two things very quickly, Jamie. First thing, when you're talking about goals as well, it kind of I had a feeling of the Norwich goal in 15-16, the earthquake goal, where Ajoa scored 89th minute, and that was massive. And I can't remember, I think it was similar time of the season as well. Also, I just wanted to say quickly, when Tom was talking about the players and how that, you know, it would have hit them what happened after the Bristol City game. I think earlier in the season, when things weren't going well, no, we were winning every game, but there were a small section of fans that were, you know, talking about how they didn't like the style of play and all of that, including one or two on this call, which is more than reasonable. Obviously, you had a lot of fans that were just like, shut up, you know, we're winning every game, you know, whatever. And I think when we go on that poor run of form that we did, then obviously more fans started to kind of question what Enzo was doing and things like that. But the thing is, you know, nobody cares. I said this with my mate the other day. Nobody cares about the performances if you win. You know, they only care about the performance if you lose. And I don't care if we play like shit for the next six games. Yeah. If we win every game, you know, that's all that matters. And
it's not about performance, Locks. It's not about performance. It's about results now, isn't it?
Well, it's exactly. If we were mid-table, let's say we were a mid-table Premier League team, right? And I think back to Puel, mate. We were a mid-table Premier League team. We weren't winning, you know, we weren't challenging for top four that season. And we also really weren't going to get relegated. And I think that's when I think that's why, you know, Puel got sacked, because the fans hated it. The fans hated the football, and you could afford to make a change at that stage. But right now, mate, I mean, you know, it is all about winning games, winning the league or getting promoted. And I think, you know, it's not really the time now to, as long as you're winning games, you can't really question it, in my opinion. Which is why I wouldn't question it earlier on in the season.
Yeah, talking of games, Jono, we've got Millwall and Plymouth on the Tuesday and on the Friday. What kind of changes do you think we would make?
None.
None, really. None.
I think Vardy will come in for Daka.
I think Connor Cody will come in as well. I think there'll be a few changes here or there, and then back to the normal team on depending whichever game it is. I think, yeah, you probably put the better team against Plymouth, and then maybe put the likes of Chowdhury in against Millwall and a few players like that.
If I agree with what Tom said. You know, when Ricardo plays with Winks, the team just plays really well. And, you know, how many times when Vestergaard plays, does he make that run from the middle of the pitch to try and make something happen? You know, I think those three players are vital. I think they must play. Either bring on Cody for fast, I think, will be a change I'll make. Maybe definitely Daka off of Vardy. But apart from that, no. Even though Mavadidi didn't do anything, he scored the winning goal. You know,
hold on, John. McAteer's injured and played Carlos. We might not see him the rest of the season, unfortunately. We might not. Go on, John.
But, no, definitely change Daka for Vardy. But, Mavadidi, even though he had a poor game, as Reedy would say, he scored the last minute winner. How can you, you know, he's been on a form goal scorer, Mavadidi. So even though he didn't play well, he's just that big game moment. So I'll make two changes. I'll bring on Cody for Fass, and I'll bring on Vardy for Daka. That's it.
I heard a good thing Matt Piper said yesterday. Faze is like a right-footed Soyuncu. He likes diving into the tackles.
Yeah, he likes being aggressive, doesn't he? Yeah, he's very aggressive. Again, he does get up the line quite quickly, but then when he doesn't make the right challenge, he has to run back. But that's what I like about him. Obviously, people say that there is a mistake in him a lot of the time, like we saw Hull and stuff like that. But again, for me, when you've got your best lineup out there, for me, he is in there. I'm totally honest, because with him and Vestergaard together, majority of the time they don't put a foot wrong. So, and like I say, he's a fast one out of the two to kind of cover back when Vestergaard does go up like he did in the game yesterday.
Tom, what are you thinking for Millwall? I'll let you go in a minute, Tom, after this. Millwall and the score prediction. I know it's a tough one.
Are you going, Tom?
Not sure yet. 50-50. I haven't made my mind up, but still tickets available. So I'm tempted, because I've got Plymouth on Friday, see. So that's a
you're going Plymouth as well?
Yeah, I'm going Plymouth on Friday.
You're not going Plymouth, are you, read it?
No.
Part-time supporter.
So I've got to make mind up one day.
I'm going down the pub, mate.
I broke down the season into sections, and one of the sections was the Easter weekend and how we, you know, including the games, Bristol, Norwich, and obviously yesterday against Birmingham, is how many points if we were to challenge and get back into the top two after some dodgy results, and looked at the fixtures from everyone else. Us to come out with 6 points is massive for me. That was going into the final running. Looking at the way Ipswich only just got over the line against blooming Southampton. Just got over the line in the game before that. I watched the Leeds game against Watford. They were poor. I watched them against Hull. They were poor for me, and they got lucky to win that game really in the end. And then yesterday, obviously, them losing and only taking 4 points out of the possible 9 was massive for us. So to me, going into this Millwall game now, it's given us a little bit of a breathing space, you know, because obviously we'd lost two of these three. We would have been in big mess. I don't see him making that many changes. I think he'll try and keep the team now settled as much as he can going into the final game of the season. Yes, it'll be a quick turnaround, obviously, going in from Tuesday to playing Friday. Plymouth have got the same problem as well, though. They're playing on Tuesday night, so it's not like we've got an unfair advantage. Obviously, the only difference is travel, but I suppose the players will be flying to London and flying to Plymouth, so it don't make much difference on the travelling for them. I'm going very positive one. I think we'll actually steamroll at Millwall on Tuesday night and get a 3-0 win.
Very positive. 3-0 win. There's a lot of people are going wins as well. Adam's gone for a 2-0 win. There's a couple have gone 3-1 wins. Tom, we shall let you go. Cheers for joining, pal.
Cheers,
and,
guys.
And enjoy the rest of your weekend. See you later, mate. Be good. Thanks for joining. See you later, pal. Locks, before I let you go, your Millwall predictions and the teams and that, what do you think?
She's again, oh, mate, it depends on
Mr. Positivity has changed completely.
it depends on what Leicester turn up. If we turn up properly, mate, like we should, then yeah, I'd probably agree with Tom, 3-0. it could be a tough one if not. I don't think we'll lose either way, but I think, you know, a draw could happen, which wouldn't be the end of the world as long as you go and beat Plymouth. But I will say a 3-0 Leicester win like Tom, mate. I think we'll turn up. I think we're going to turn up for all six. I don't think we're going to go unbeaten in six. I'm sorry. I do think we will lose one more game this season.
Come on, Mr. 360 here. Christ.
Hold on. I do think we'll lose one, but I think it will be enough to get top two. So 3-0 Leicester, Millwall.
I've just forgot to say, happy birthday, Christian Fuchs. It's his 38th birthday today. And also, here's another little known stat. Even Reedy didn't know this. Mickey Adams was appointed boss on this day in 2002.
Who?
22 years ago, he was appointed on this day. That makes
me. Lasted 2 years.
You are?
And he lasted 2 years.
Well, I know. He did well, though. He got us back up, though. He got us back up.
22 years ago. How old was Reedy?
Three. He got us back up when we went into administration. Remember that, lads? He did as well that year. Sorry, Lox, what did you say your score prediction would be? 2-0, did you say?
3-0, mate. Yeah, 3-0. Daka hat trick. That's dope. That's the only time you'll see Reedy come on the show in the morning very happy, mate, is when Daka scores that trick.
All right, then, pal.
Or when he beats me on FIFA.
Jono, what are you thinking for the weekend? You've been a bit quieter today. Are you
2-1 for? Oh, what thing of the weekend has happened?
No, for the Millwall Tuesday. Game. We're on the Millwall game now, pal.
I think 2-1 to Leicester. I think we'll win. Just against Millwall. Just got to keep plugging. Well, the funniest thing I've heard this season is how Lox could be the most positive person on the planet. Literally every day saying we're going to break the points record, not just beat it, absolutely annihilate it, to being one of the most depressed people in the world. It's one of the most biggest changes, but I think we'll beat Millwall 2-1.
Righty-o. Millwall 2-1. All right, and Jono, we shall see.
Jono said 2 months ago, the season's finished. Don't come for me, mate. Don't come for me.
I've always been negative.
that's true, yeah. Jono thinks negative, and if anything positive happens, he's over the moon. It's double celebration for him.
If you're always negative, then when you do something good, it feels the best ever.
Exactly, Jono.
I'm a bit like that. All right, Jono, speak to you soon, pal. Be good.
Later.
Reedy, what are you going for?
1-0.
You're going for a boring 1-0 win, are you?
1-0.
Mark Watson's going for a 5-0 win. That's been rather too proactive, pal. That's a little bit too proactive for you.
It's still a win. Who cares?
There is one thing. Before we go, I've got to show everyone this because this has happened for donkeys and donkeys years. Reedy wasn't sure what was going on when it was all happening. He's not really heard about it. But going under the underpass is absolutely, just watch this, is brilliant. That's brilliant. I really do. And that's been going on. I don't know how many years that's been going on, but it's absolutely fantastic, that is. Absolutely brilliant. I love it. Going through that tunnel, going through the underpass, it's tradition. Whenever Leicester win, it's tradition, really.
Yeah, we've done it every time we've been down there, if we've won anyway, so.
Alan, you should be able to answer this for me. How long has that been going on? Because Alan Meesham, he's been around for a long time, and I've known him a while. You should be able to tell me, how long has that been going on under that underpass? It was happening when I was first started in the late 70s, early 80s.
I was going to say more like 50s, isn't it, mate?
You are?
I was going to say more like 50s, isn't it?
No, it's 40. Early 80s is only 40 years to me. Alan, you must know. You must know how long that's been going on. It must have happened. Underpass horn, oh, the little thing, yes. Little things please little minds, that's what they say, isn't it? But yeah, when you see Alan on Tuesday, you'll be on the same bus as him on Tuesday, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Ask him that question. See if he knows.
I will.
Jonathan, no, I've unfortunately not, because the bar opens tomorrow, as if you didn't know. Everyone will know the bar opens.
He's a part-time fan. That's why.
I'm not a part-time fan. I'm a working legend, me, an Alcudia legend. If you're watching on YouTube, please give us a little like or subscribe. And much appreciated. Don't cost you anything. Just hit that button. If you're watching on Facebook, give us a like. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. Absolutely fan dabby doozy. Reedy, what did you say? 1-0.
1-0.
Oh, Alan, you don't go over. You don't go that way. Where is it? He doesn't go that way, unfortunately. Oh, that's a shame. You ought to. So in all the years, you've never gone that way, Alan. You ought to try it once. Only when we win, though. Only happens when we win. Don't go down it when we lose. Yes, I hope it will be. Right then, Reedy, we shall see you through the week.
Yep, no worries, mate.
See you through the week. I'll see you through the window, pal.
And through the keyhole.
That doesn't quite... That's a bit... That's worse than looking
at you. Do you want... There you
right
go.
Then, pal, we shall. See you later, pal. Be good.
See you in a bit.
See you later. There we go. Thank you for watching the show. It's been much, much appreciated as normal. I'll be back next week. Yes, we're open, but we're only opening 6 days a week, so I'll still do the famous Foxes Aftermath show, because I couldn't leave you with Reedy for 4 weeks, could I? That would be terrible for you, like, wouldn't it? But next week, 10 o'clock, I'll be back. So it's ciao, ciao, adios, goodbye, arrivederci. There goes the final whistle. Come on, you Foxes!
Thanks for watching Leicester Fan TV. Thanks to our sponsors, Everards, Barlow Blinds, Pucker Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Distillers Direct, Hologram, Take Me, Nubian Cow, The Fox's Arms and Rainbows. Run by the fans, for the fans. Follow us on socials at Leicester Fan TV and visit leicesterfantv.com for all the latest news, views and videos.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.